afford to. So I go where I can afford, and you know, there's a big sort of balance between life and work and stuff. And if you're stretching himself, then that's going to be a big problem.
I should repeat what Jamie said. There's no guarantee that a £500,000 house that you're buying today is going to fall into the trap that has been set by Martino Mullier, because it's based on the value of the house in 2005, and that needs to be emphasised. And if the house was built last year, it could be a situation where it's compared to the value of other houses in the street in 2005. So all of that has to be factored in as well. So it doesn't guarantee that he's going to have to pay the extra rates, but he is right on the edge as far as his finances are concerned, and he feels it's unfair. You reckon he should go and buy himself a £300,000 house?
Yeah, because then you'll have more money to spare. The other thing I also think, you're talking about where else can be taxed. To me personally, churches should be taxed.
Yeah, churches fall under this charitable exemption, because I've just been double checking all this, because people have been asking. In general, you do not have to pay rates on your property if it is occupied by a charity and used for public benefit for charitable purposes. The exemption applies only to the portion of the property occupied and used for such purposes, and is subject to certain restrictions. And there's eligibility criteria. Charitable purposes include formally constituted trusts for the advancement of religion, the advancement of education, the relief of poverty, other purpose beneficial to the community. And they use that example that you've brought up. Example one, a church. A simple example is a church which is held by trustees whose main objects are the advancement of religion, and the church building is used in connection with these objects. People get really annoyed when they hear that the churches don't have to pay the rates. Yet and all, if you're living in your £500,000 house, you've got to pay £3,500 a year.
Yeah, if you go down the Shore Road in Belfast, and you see that tabernacle in the Shore Road in Belfast, it is huge. And you see, I drive past it quite a lot with having to go up and down the Shore Road for work at times, and you see the amount of minibuses that are outside it, and I'm going, that is a church there that has got a lot of money. I know there is churches that struggle, and I think there's a system that can be put in place that, you know, the churches that are struggling, they don't have to pay. But if you look at the likes of that church, it is rolling in money. That building alone, I'm sure, is worth millions, multi-millions.
Yeah, I think that's a fair enough comment. I don't know if they have to pay anything or not, but going by that, they are exempt from rates. They're definitely exempt from rates. Stuart, it'd be interesting to see if people think they should be properly targeting churches instead of adding the money on to the hard-working individuals and families. Let me speak to Liz, who's on this line. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Liz.
Frank, all it is really now, I don't live in Belfast or anything, but I live in the middle of the country. So we have absolutely no amenities whatsoever, no bus service, no street lighting. We purchased our house like in 1989 and worked really, really hard, the two of us, to extend it and try and get it the way we want it. As a result, it has increased in value, and we are now hit with a rates bill every year of £2,100 to have our bins emptied and have our septic tank emptied once a year.
Yeah, people do feel that that's all you get. Of course, they will argue that the running of the country comes out of the rates, and there's much more to it, right through to even the policing of the land, etc. And I could give you a long list of things that the rates go towards. But Liz, you're concerned that you're paying £2,500 or whatever it is a year on rates. What is the value of your house?
Well, it was valued at £300,000, Frank.
So in 2005, it was £300,000?
No, in 2005, it was less than that.
But you're not going to have to pay any more.
No, I know that. I know, and that's, I mean, I probably shouldn't even be phoning you, Frank, but it's people who live in rural areas get hit with the same rates that people who have all the amenities, all the facilities on their doorsteps, public transport, everything else.
Yeah, you feel in Belfast we have an advantage. We've got the leisure centres, we've got the street lighting, we've got the bins emptied, even though mine weren't emptied last week. But the point is you feel that the city dweller is better off than the country folk.
Yes, they are, certainly, Frank. There's the rail services, there's the public transport, as I say. We can't go anywhere. We have to have a car where we live. My husband's retired. I, unfortunately, can't work due to disabled. So we get no assistance, we get no relief, we don't get anything handed back, yet everybody else can walk to their nearby shopping centre, can walk to their nearby community centre and avail of all those facilities. And another wee thing, Frank, where they're saying the people who live in £500,000 houses can afford it, a lot of people are probably in the same position as we are, that bought their houses years ago and worked really, really hard to extend it, or it's maybe just gone up in value, they've maybe been left the property. They're not necessarily in a position to be able to afford an extra £10 a week, an extra £500 a year. I mean, we have to pay ours direct out, and I have to pay it £200 a month for 10 months.
Liz, it sounds to me like fair commentary. I had this conversation last night with people who are saying very similar things to what you are saying. There's just this general presumption that if someone is at this present moment in time living in a £500,000 house, that they're rolling in it. That is not necessarily so. As for the benefits of living in the city as opposed to the country, are we better off when it comes to the actual rollout of the rates and the financial benefit from the rates? I'm not so sure if you're looking at it through the eyes of a city dweller, but I do understand exactly what you're describing and how country residents do feel. Liz, thank you. I'm going to speak to Ron in a moment, who's got a great description of Jamie.
Just a comment on your caller just before Liz. I think his name was Stuart. Stuart is the very sort of person that Martino Mullier is appealing to. He would like to live in a big house, but he can't because he can't afford it. But he doesn't want anybody else to. I think he's been a bit dog in a manger about that. And it's not very, you know, It's a bit offensive to people who are living in houses and kind of and are finding it a struggle to pay these high rates.
But is that not a bit offensive, your analysis of a typical Martino Mullier voter?
No, it's not. Martino Mullier and Sinn Féin, they are socialists and they are chasing votes and they're going for the popular vote, and it is very much Robin Hood politics. You know, rob from the perceived wealthy. Now, I use that word perceived, Frank. Not everybody who lives in a house which is worth £500,000 or £1 million is wealthy. I pay £100,000 in business rates. I employ 10 or a dozen people and I subcontract to another dozen or 20 people. My rates will go up by approximately £100 a week.
Are you talking about your business rate? Your private rate?
No, my private rates will go up by £100 a week. I live in the house which I was born in. Right, my house. I don't care if my house is worth 50p or £50 million. That's my home. I grew up in it, and I love the house. Now, I have to say, I think the elephant in the room, and there's been this white elephant in the room for an awfully long time, is that Jamie DeLargy doesn't really live in the real world. He doesn't really live in the real world. He is not speaking to people who are actually in touch with what is affecting them in business.
But he spent his lifetime reporting in the real world up until 2 months ago, and he's now a commentator giving his personal opinion.
Isn't that amazing, Frank, that you give him so much time? And yet, as I have described to others, he is the Daily Mail of business commentary.
But how do you describe him as the Daily Mail of business commentary when we associate...
Daily Mail, if you like cold weather and a nice cold winter, if you look at the Daily Mail, it's going to be the coldest winter in 10 years, and that's fantastic. Oh, it's so exciting. Look at this. It's going to be really cold weather. You know, he'll tell you what you want to hear. You know, he is offensive. He is offensive in the extreme to say that people in a big house and the fur coat brigade, as he calls them, and I don't own a fur coat. I'm in my work boots and my high-vis jacket as we speak. He is offensive in saying that people can afford it, and he might as well be saying the words, hell, slap it up them. And that's what a lot of people who this policy appeals to. Hell, slap it up them.
Yes, but he sees, and he's obviously speaking on behalf of the people who see the very well healed. Last night on TV, he made a reference to Malung Park and the barristers and the private doctors and whatever. And he was saying those people can well afford it. And when you base it on their salaries, of course you can well afford it.
Calm yourself. Listen to the words I'm saying to you. Not everybody in Malung Park is a barrister or a QC or a doctor. Take it from me, right? I pay £3,000 a month, or £3,000 plus a year in rates. My rates will be over £8,000 if the cap comes off. I employ 20 people, or 10 people, and up to 20 subcontractors.
Just on that, let me stop you for a second, Ron, because I want to ask you about a figure. I need to ask you about a figure. I put that to Jamie earlier. He said if you're paying £3,000 a year at the moment in a house that is maybe worth close to £1 million. If you're paying £3,000 a year at the moment, the most you'll be paying is £5,500. That's what he said to me.
He's wrong. Listen to the words I'm saying to you. He is incorrect. He is wrong, Frank. He's on the TV and radio so much that it's taken as gospel. The whole banking crisis, everything he said was taken as gospel. It was nonsense. Not all of them. No, that's unfair.
In fairness to him, you know, it's not my. But Ron, it's not my job to defend Jimmy DeLargy. But in fairness, he was the man, the only man in Northern Ireland who saw the real estate housing crash coming.
No, he predicted it. I know he did. Not the only person who saw it, Frank.
Publicly speaking, he was the one.
That's because he is your go-to guy when you want to have business commentary. He's your go-to guy, isn't he? You know, every time there's a comment required on something that's business or rates or anything to do with the economy, he's your go-to guy.
But he's highly respected in his field.
He is highly respected by whom? In his field.
Certainly by the viewership of UTV for the best part of 25 years and people who react to this programme and the business community as well who invite him to every event that's held under the sun.
I know. I'm not here to bash Jamie DeLargy, but I have to say, on this occasion, he is wrong. Right, but I'm not here to... I'm here to talk about rates.
Okay, so your rates are going to go up to £8,500. He says £5,500, you say £8,500.
He's wrong. Now, how will I find that money? If I employ 10 people and I have to cut my cloth, how am I going to find that money?
I think it is a very, very good question, and it's a question that we should be firing as you are towards Martin O'Mullier. You are
absolutely,
a hard-working businessman employing the best part of 30 people, and you're now going to be hit with an additional £100 a week out of your salary at home because Martin O'Mullier has decided that that's the way it is. And, you know, some people are flippant about the better off, but the better off are certainly going to be, for want of a better term, screwed on this. There is no question about it.
And I don't get a salary, Frank. I employ people. I pay everybody else and all my costs and everything else, and I take just what I need to get by. Okay?
Ron,
if I have to take more, where do I have to take it from? I have to take it from the business. Well, who is the business supporting? It is supporting all my employees. Now, these 7,000 households, I don't care if it's 1%, 0.1% or 50% of the households. A lot of them are the hard-working, as you call them, hard-working middle class, and I would call them the employing classes too. A lot of employers are in that category, and they're already paying huge business rates and getting crucified. I started a business 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, and one of the very first things that landed on the doormat of the property was a rates bill of £48,000, and I hadn't sold a stick.
Ron, I'm going to have to leave it at that. I can understand your description is eloquent to a fault, and I can understand who you're representing when you're talking this morning. You're talking about hard-working people.
Very, very briefly. One more very quick point. I mean, I might have to cut my radio advertising budget, but that's not my point. My point is that don't turn your program into a bit of a foot in the door, let's appeal to the slap them up, hell slap it up. You know, some of us are working really hard to keep the economy going.
Ron, this door is open to the hell slap it up them brigade, and it's open to businessmen.
I know it is.
Businessmen like you as well. It's open to
even-handed.
All. It's open door.
Appreciate your time.
No bother. Thanks for the
Thank
call.
You,
Thank
Frank.
You. Thank you.
This decision must be taken now that they're going to charge the charity shops.
Yes, a small amount.
Yeah, I think it's wrong because basically the charity shops, any sort of furniture or clothing or gifts that are donated to the charity shops are from the public, and any money raised from the charity shops goes to help the public. So it's really, I don't see why they should be getting money taken off them when they're trying to benefit the whole community, no matter what charity shop it is, whether it's Action Cancer or the various other charity shops throughout the province.
Yes, but you make it sound like as if no one in those charities are working as paid employees, or that the charities don't have CEOs or whatever. There's a business structure.
There is, yes. So there's a lot of volunteers working at the charity shops, like ourselves. Like we go out now this time of the year selling Christmas cards and stuff like that around various venues to try and help the charity, but it's all benefiting the people we try to help and support.
And do you not think the charity shops are fit to pay, I think, what is it, 10% of what they would normally have to pay? At the minute they pay zero, but just to impose a 10% levy, surely that's hardly going to break their back.
Well, some charities it could be very hard for. You know, some charities know are struggling at this moment in time financially. And even some of this minimal as 10% could damage a lot of the charities in Northern Ireland.
Will you be lobbying against this idea from the Finance Minister?
I certainly would, yes.
Okay, Nick.